God to minister to us as we receive the word this morning. Amen? Before we pray, I want to say that God wants us to have expectant hearts. And God wants us to be expecting things from Him. Just this week, something interesting happened. Actually, just yesterday, we were going on a road trip, and my daughter Sarah asked me for a muffin. Now, when she asked me for a muffin, what she actually means is a donut hole, but she calls them muffins, okay? Why? I don't know. Maybe I said the wrong thing one day. From that day on, it's always been muffins. And all that to say is this. I told her, I'll give you one in 15 minutes. Can anybody take a wild guess as to how many times she asked me for a muffin before the 15 minutes was over? Yeah, it was every minute. That, right, okay. It was between 5 and 15, okay? Daddy, can I have the muffin now? I said 15 minutes. A minute goes by. Daddy, can I have the muffin now? But here's the thing. Because I told her I would give it to her, she believed me. Because she believes in what Daddy said. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When we come to the scripture, when we come to the church, we are expectant because God has said that He wants to bless us. Amen? God says He wants to minister to us, and so we should come to Him expecting something. Everyone say, I am.
I am.
Say it loud. Say, I am.
I am.
Expecting something,
expecting something.
From God today.
God.
Let's pray. Father, we're expecting. We're expecting You to move among us. We're expecting You to love on us. We're expecting a word that will transform our lives and draw us closer to You, God. I thank You, Lord, that Your presence is here already. I thank You, God, that Your Spirit is ministering to us in powerful ways. Thank You for that beautiful song that was just sang that stirred our hearts. Thank You for the talents and the gifts that You've given men and women from this congregation. Thank You for the transforming work that You're doing, not just in our lives, but in the lives of the church and the community and the city. We pray for our family members. Some are here and are hurting, God, and You know who they are. Some have been crying all week, and You know who they are. Some are struggling with depression. Some are struggling with difficult circumstances, and You know who they are, God. Some are struggling with relationship issues, brokenness of heart, brokenness of mind, and You know who they are, God. So we all come together looking towards heaven, looking to You to help us. We are expecting something from You today. I ask that You would stand in this my body, that You would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that You would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if everybody got the fill-in from this morning, they are the same from last week because Pastor didn't finish last week. Hallelujah. And so we're going to finish those today. So if you have them, you can follow along with me. I am going to recap some of the things that we talked about last week, and then we'll dive into some of the meatier things that I want to talk to you about today. But all in the spirit of expecting. Say it again. I'm expecting, something from God, today.
Today.
Amen. And you know, one of the things that usually happens, the reason why I can expect something from God today, one of the reasons, is because I've seen God move in my life yesterday. Are you with me?
Yep.
Because I saw God move in my life yesterday, I believe that He's going to be with me today and tomorrow. I could have lost my mind yesterday. I was in financial crisis yesterday. I had a broken heart yesterday and months ago and years ago. But today, God has kept me. I am still alive. I'm still sane. Thank God that we're still here. That's why I can believe in expectation that God can do something in my life today and tomorrow. Amen? When King David, before he was King David, went to wrestle the giant named what?
Goliath.
Help me out. Goliath. He went to wrestle the giant named Goliath. When he went to wrestle him, he said, I'm going to, or he went to fight him. He said, I'm going to fight Goliath. Everyone else was scared. You ever been in a situation where everyone is scared to do something and no one will just do it? In this case, Goliath was in front of the army of Israel, and everyone knew, we've got to fight this guy. We can't let him say those things. Goliath was saying, your God is nothing. You're not the people of God. God is not with you. We are going to win. And David, a little guy as he was, just a shepherd boy as he was, stood up and said, you know what? No, I'm going to fight him. And people asked him, hey, David, what makes you believe that you're young, you're not a warrior like some of these other guys. What makes you believe that you can beat this giant? And what David said was this. When I am a shepherd, David said, I take care of my daddy's sheep. And when a bear comes or a lion comes to get the sheep, I go and the name, I say, God, help me out. How many of you know that I would be saying a prayer or two if a bear or a lion came around? Are you with me? The other day, the kids went to the zoo. They took pictures right next to this bear. It was literally this far away from their face. But the reason was because there was a glass between them. A really, really thick glass. That would not allow, right? They wouldn't be so dumb. If there was a lion or a bear, we would be praying. And when David prayed, he said, God, help me out. And he would go and he would beat down the lion. He would beat down the bear until they let the sheep go because he was responsible for the sheep. And so David had experienced what it was to cry out to God and God deliver him from animals that wanted to destroy the sheep and maybe even him. And so David said, the God who delivered me yesterday from the bear and the lion is the God who's going to deliver me today from this giant. Amen? So we can be expected because God has been with us yesterday and he will be with us today. Just very quickly, we're talking about a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are three guys. If you're looking for names for children, there you go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Baby boys, right? Someday, right? There's some names if you want to go there. That's cool. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys were from Israel. They were Israelites that were taken as slaves to Babylon. And the king of Babylon, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, there's another name that's for you. A guy named Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to take these slaves and we're going to train them and teach them and educate them. And they're going to rise up in the rank. I'm going to put them to work for my government. And the Bible says that they were so gifted, that God had gifted them their mind and their intelligence. The Bible says that God lifted them and they became the administrators, kind of like the mayors or the governors of Babylon, of that province. Because God elevated them. They were slaves, but God elevated them. Are you with me? They were slaves, but God elevated them. And here's simply something I want to say to you. No matter what situation you find yourself in today, no matter what circumstance, favorable or unfavorable, God can use the gifting that you have right here, the gifting that he's given to you, and he can lift you up so that you can serve. Even in a bad situation, God can give you favor. Everyone say favor. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had favor. But something happened. This king, at some point, built a statue of gold. And here's what the scripture says, Daniel 3, verses 4 and 5. A herald shouted out, a messenger, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. So the king had a great idea. Hey, I'm going to build a statue. It probably looked like him. And everybody's going to worship him. After they hear the music, they're going to worship. To worship, as you see there, is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. People on this planet worship all kinds of different things, all kinds of different gods, all kinds of different idols. To worship is the feeling or expression of reverence. Oh, I lift that up. I prioritize this God. And adoration for a deity. It later on goes to say that anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace in Daniel 3:6. And here's a thought for the day. Worship will always cost you something. Worship will always cost you something. That's the first feeling. Worship will cost you something. It will take something. Whether you're worshiping a false idol or you're worshiping the real God, it will cost you something. The scripture goes on to say that so at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In Daniel 3, verse 7. And we talked last week about the power of music. The power of music. That there's something about music that opens us up to whatever the message is behind the music. Yesterday, I was taking a trip to Syracuse with my family, Amy and the kids, and actually my parents were with me as well. And And one of the things that we like to do when I'm together with the family, and I'm little by little, very with baby steps, introducing Amy to this, which is I like to put on some Spanish music. All right? Some Spanish music, because when I listen to Spanish music, here's what happens. It's interesting. When I put the music on, some kind of classic, popular Spanish song, when I put the song on, it brings nostalgia to me, and it reminds me of my island. And it reminds me of times with my grandparents and times with my family. And so I'm just listening to a song, and everybody could just be listening to it. But for me, that song represents nostalgia. It represents a connection with my island. Are you with me? So when I want to remember the island, I put on the Spanish music. Right? It's actually Dominican, but it's okay. We're all the same stuff, right? I listen to it and it reminds me, there's nothing wrong with that. But the challenge is this. We have to be mindful that what we listen to, what does it make us think about? What we listen to, what does it draw us to? What we listen to, what kind of feelings or emotions are there? In Puerto Rico, we kind of have this funny thing that a lot of artists sing songs that in Spanish we call them cortavenas. And that's, I'm not even going to tell you what that means because it's kind of gross to think about. But anyway, but basically, they're songs about someone singing of how they've lost their love. People are always singing about, oh, I wish I was with you, but now you're gone. People just love to sing. And there's a part of me that's like, that's nice. But there's, listen, sometimes people love to be miserable sometimes. Sometimes people love to listen to songs about, oh, I wish that, and they listen to it, and if they were sad before, I promise you, they're more sad now, right? Because there's something about music that opens us up, and here's all I'm saying about this. Are you with me? I'm not saying that throughout your day, and no matter what, all day, all the time, you need to be playing in your speakers at home, you know, hallelujah, 24 hours a day. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is be mindful and be careful because the music that you listen to consistently, if it's producing a consistent reaction in you, oh, I listen to this, I want to go to the club. I listen to this, I want to call that girl that I know I probably shouldn't call. When I listen to this, it makes me feel sad or depressed. When I listen to this, whatever it is, be very mindful. In this story, when they listen to the music, they're going to say, yeah, he's feeling good. You're excited. Now, everybody bowed down to the statue. And you know what most everybody did? They bowed down to the statue because that's what everybody at the club was doing. Are you with me? Because music caused a reaction. In this case, when they were hearing the music, the king said, you're going to bow. And everyone knew, okay, when we hear the music, we are going to bow to this statue. To a statue. That's the power of music. But not everybody bowed. Not everybody bowed. Remember the three guys, that the names that you might want to use for your kids or something someday? Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Out of the hundreds of people, and potentially even thousands, it says that there were people there from all nations of the world. They were the only ones who did not bow. And so the scripture says this, but there are some Jews. People were telling on them, and they were telling the king, king, there are some Jews. You said that the music, everyone bows, everyone worships, but there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. These are guys that are in charge of yourself, king. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to what? They refuse to serve your gods and do not what? Worship the gold statue you have set up. Let's just read this here for a second. The serve definition, if you see it underneath that scripture. To serve is to perform duties or services for. So if you scroll to the top, or almost to the top, where it says worship. Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. So there's something internal about worship. Are you with me? It's a posture. Worship is a posture. Worship is a heart thing. Say, worship is a heart thing.
Worship is a heart thing.
Say, serving is a hand thing.
Serving is a hand thing.
Worship is something that happens in your heart. It's a disposition. It's something, I'm going to worship. I'm going to adore this God. Serving is something I'm doing with my hands. It's action. It's something that I'm doing. Worshiping is internal, if you will. Serving is external. Now, we know that when we come to church, we lift up holy hands and we worship God and we're singing. That we are worshiping. But you don't know what's happening on the inside, do you? You can just see me or I can just see you. I don't know what's happening on the inside, but God knows. And when we're worshiping, we're saying, God, we love you. Jesus, we need you. And when we're serving him, we're doing things for him. We're honoring him. We're serving people. There are ways to serve in the church. There's opportunities to serve at children's ministry and youth ministry and hospitality. And we must raise up an army of men and women who not only worship God on Sunday morning, but also serve him with all their heart during the week. Because of this, listen, the world, the Nebuchadnezzars of the world, are always asking their subjects and their people what to worship and what to serve. You need to worship and serve money. Well, I don't worship and serve money, yeah, but you think about it a lot. You're consumed by it. I'm not saying you, I'm thinking in general. Or you're consumed, or you worship and serve popularity. Or pleasure, or you worship. Listen, some people will not do anything unless everyone is okay with them doing it. Are you with me? Some people won't make a decision, won't make a tough stance because I don't want to do this because I don't want to upset him. I don't want to upset her. Are you with me? And so sometimes, and I have that that weakness. Sometimes I want to please people, but God is reminding me. God's not put me on this planet to please people. God's put me on this planet to please who? To please God. And so in this case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were either going to please the king. I mean, I don't know about you, but if somebody powerful walked through those doors and they asked me for something and I want to please them, sure, yeah, I'll do that. We'll go with that. If a president or someone, I know that right now that's a tough thing to say, right? But someone, right? Presidents throughout the history, or people of power, if they walk through those doors and they ask you, hey, I want you to do this for me, we would want to do that because they have a perception that they're powerful and they're important or they're popular, and we want to get on their good side, right? In this case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their boss was the king, and the king was saying, I want you to worship this statue. And they said, no, we're not going to. I mentioned last week, thank God for the Jewish people. And I simply say thank God for the Jewish people for this reason. Throughout the history, and especially the biblical history, when everyone else in the world was going against God, there were at least a remnant, there was a group, there was a people, not necessarily everyone within that group, but at least a few, and here there was three, and there were, and I love the fact that the gentleman, the person that's tattletaling on them is saying, there are some Jews. And you know what I think? I think God has a soft spot in his heart for the Jewish people. There's something about the Jewish people that God loves and prays for. And so when you hear people saying, oh, the Jews are this, or the Jews are that, all I'm saying is this, be careful. Because we want to be with God, amen? That doesn't mean that every Jewish person is nice and lovely. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that as a people, there's something about the Jewish people that God has plans for. And all the way back when Nebuchadnezzar was in charge, the only ones that stood up, it doesn't say some Puerto Ricans, right? Doesn't say some Americans. Doesn't say some whatever. And there's nothing, yeah, praise God for all the reasons. It says there are some Jews. There are these Hebrews who are always trying to worship this God. They refuse to serve and they refuse to worship. And here's a question for us today. What are we worshiping and what are we serving? Well, I worship God because I go to church on Sunday and I worship him. And then I don't think about him for the rest of the week. But then I come back and I worship him for that hour. Worship is a lifestyle. Say, worship is a lifestyle. Serving is a lifestyle. God help us to be worshipers of the real living God, not statues, not false idols. Some people worship the bottle. The bottle. I need this drink because if I don't have it, I'm not going to be happy. Some people worship pleasure, money. Some Some people put worship a person. This is the person. If they are happy or if they will like me, then my life will be great. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue." Daniel, if you can do me a favor, and if you can go to verse 13, Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, I want to read something. Because before Nebuchadnezzar says this, he has a reaction. He's been told that these Jews are not going to bow, right? And here's what it says. Look at it up here on the screen. It's not on your sheet. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a what? A rage, and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him when they were brought in." But I want you just to see something. He flew into a rage. He was an angry king. He flew into a rage. And can I just say this, and I'm probably going to say this next week too. Be very careful what you do when you are angry. Be very careful who you accuse when you are angry. Be very careful, because in this story we see a king who is the ruler of everything in the known kingdom, in the known world, yet he was still angry. Do you know anybody that is just angry all the time? Maybe it's just my family, you know, or maybe it's just our extended family. There's always that uncle. Man, don't mess with Uncle Joe! You don't want to talk to Uncle Joe. You know, I had two sets of grandparents. God bless them. They were the best grandparents. Both of them were awesome. But one set of grandparents had a more soft and bubbly disposition than the other set of grandparents. Are you with me? And so if I went to the cookie jar as a kid, "I want a cookie from Grandma." And I went to the cookie jar. And if it was one set of grandparents, they would say, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" Right? When I was a kid. I was like 15 or something, I'm just kidding. And I was a little guy, right? "What are you doing?" And then my grandfather, especially, would get, "You taking a cookie? You didn't ask for permission. You know what? Here you go." He would give me a cookie, and he would give me an extra cookie. Because that's what the kind of grandparents are. In the other house, my other grandparents, I would go into, and I'm going for it. And before I could even ask, "Don't touch the cookie!" Because they had a more serious disposition. So I knew there were things I could say in front of a certain a group of grandparents that I could not say in the other set. Are you with me?
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar was the king of everything that we know at the time. All of the people, they were his. He had it all. Yet he was still what? He was still an angry man. Be careful what you do when you are angry. So then we come to this scripture. I'm going to read it again. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true?" Verse 14. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "that you refuse to," what? "To serve." You refuse to use your hands. You refuse to act upon this God that I'm telling you about. Serve my God, or to what? What's the second thing? To worship. You refuse to exalt this statue that this gold statue I've set up. "I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" Listen, be careful what you say when you're angry. He just wasn't challenging them. He was challenging God. He's like, "What God is going to come against me and help you?" You refuse to serve. You refuse to worship the statue. I'm going to give you one more chance. Everyone say one more chance.
One more chance.
Let me just say this. In my walk with God, for example, if God said to me, I'm going to use something very simple, okay? And just a very simple example. If God said to me, or I knew, or I believed that I was not to do something bad, I was not to lie, for example, right? Very simple. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Okay, God, I want to follow you. I'm not going to lie today. But in the next few days, a circumstance would arise that it would be better if I didn't tell the truth, because I wouldn't get in trouble if I told the truth. Are you with me? maybe I can deflect it. Or if I tell the truth, I'm going to look bad. Or if I tell the truth, and I would have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to either tell the truth or lie. And here's why. The enemy is always trying to put opportunities in front of you to disobey God. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, in the middle of everything, everyone else is bowing, but we are not going to bow. But then Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to give you one more chance. One more chance to do what? To bow this, to bow before the statue. And here's the heart of this particular statue. You and I are always going to have opportunities to bow before false idols. And listen, every day I have to choose to say, God, I'm not going to bow to anything or anyone other than you, Jesus. Today, you have my heart. Today, I prioritize you. Today, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to walk through my day. But when tomorrow rolls around, I'm going to have opportunities to exalt things above God in my life. And so tomorrow, I need to bow my knee to Jesus and say, Lord, today, again, you have my heart. I worship you. I want to serve you. Help me to do that. Every single day, it's Christianity is depicted as a walk, right? It's a walk. Day to day, it's a walk. Because there's a consistency. There's a place where God is wanting to take us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Developing, and here's the last few points, I'm just going to take 5 minutes and we'll be finished. Developing an unshakable faith. I want you, I want myself, I want our families and our communities to develop an unshakable faith, a faith that stands against the circumstances, that stands up when difficulties arise. And here's some things that we can learn from these three guys. Are you ready? Here are the three things. They said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. The first thing is I develop unshakable faith when I recognize it's about God and not about me. I develop unshakable faith when I recognize, don't say recognize. I recognize that it's about God and not about me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? We don't need to defend ourselves. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time, I want to defend myself. My reputation. What people think of me. How things are going to affect me. How pleasurable or how miserable it will be for me. How much I will like or dislike it for me. Are you with me? Most of the time in my life, I make decisions based on what me, myself, and I feel like want to do. Here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men of faith with unshakable faith, they were standing. And Nebuchadnezzar said, we're going to, if you don't bow, I'm going to throw you in the fire. This is real. This is not a game. It's going to happen. And they said, we do not need to defend ourselves. We will fight for the honor of God. But we're not going to defend ourselves. We're not going to try to protect our image. We're not going to try to make sure that everybody likes us. We're not going to try to do that, King. We're not here because we want to make you happy. We're here for a different reason. And here's my encouragement to you. Part of developing unshakable faith is that you have to recognize that it's about God. It's about God in your life. It's not just about... Sometimes... I have to do things when the scripture leads me in a direction as I read the Bible as God is speaking to me. I have to do things that are, might not be pleasurable or feel good to me, but I do it because I believe God wants me to do it. Because God will be exalted through it. And here's the cool thing. Every single time that I do something that I don't want to do because I believe God wants me to do it, the blessing of God shows up. Provision from God, financial, relational. Every single time. Sometimes we have to do things that we're not comfortable doing in order to seek provision from God. When I first met Amy, I wanted to talk to her. I wanted to go up to her. You know, in my mind, I was like that cool guy. Like, hey, what's up, girl? Right? I wanted to be that guy. Hey. Can I get some digits? Can I get your number? And I want you to be suave like that, right? And I remember the party, my kids were there, and I think what I actually did was more like, bye! And left. Because I was scared. I, I, I knew there were some things I needed to do, but I just was scared to do them. The next day, I finally worked up my courage for social media, for the guy. And I reached out there and say, hey, it's me. Can I talk to you? Can I get your number? And she replied, but I had to do something that was uncomfortable. Are you with me? Something that I was scared to do in order to receive the blessing. Hallelujah. And I am a blessed man. Praise God today. Because in everything, and even as I was doing that, seriously, even as I was doing that, listen, even as I was reaching out to Amy for the first time, I was saying, God, be with me. I was saying, God, lead. You know how cool it is when you can genuinely pray and ask God to be with you as you're doing something that's scary? But the problem is, if we're doing something that we know is wrong and that God would not approve of, we can't ask him for help because he ain't going to help. Are you with me? Part of developing unshakable faith is recognizing it's about God and not about us. And then they go on, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able. Everyone say able. He is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I develop unshakable faith when I believe he is able to save me in the midst of trouble. When I believe that he is able to save me. Do you believe that God is real? When you pray, do you believe that he's going to make a difference? Do you believe when you pray for your marriage, when you pray for your kids, for provision, when you pray for that sick person, do you believe that God's actually going to do something? Unshakable faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we believe it. Our God, they're talking to the king. The fire is there. You can feel the heat of the fire. Are you with me? And as that's happening, they were saying, our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to take care of us. Our God is able to do it. We believe that. I love how this ends. He will rescue us from your power and then they end your majesty. Right? Your majesty. They were still respectful. They still honored the position. They weren't saying, hey, our God is able to save us and you are bleepity bleepity bleep. Nope. They said, God is able to deliver us from you and he'll rescue us, your majesty. We're still going to respect. There's a quality to Christianity, to followers of Jesus. There's a fruit to us. We cannot be rude. We cannot just say whatever comes out of our mouth. Even in faith, we're facing the fire. This guy wants to kill us, but they didn't say, I'm going to take this time to insult you. No, I'm not going to defend myself, they said. But our God is able to deliver us. Do you believe that God is able to save you? Midst of your trouble. Finally, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. We will never serve or worship. We will never give our heart to a false idol. We will never serve and use our life to serve something that doesn't even exist. Why would we give our heart to something? Why would we serve, give our life to something that doesn't even, it's not a real God? But even if he doesn't, see, here's the deal. Unshakable faith. I develop unshakable faith when I am willing to sacrifice for what I know and believe. Despite the consequences. Despite the consequences. When I'm willing to sacrifice for what I know and believe, despite what the consequences may be. They said, our God is able. We're not going to defend ourselves. Our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't get us out of this situation. See, most of us, and I don't know about you, but I like the first two parts. Right? Our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to rescue us. Yay! But even if he doesn't, what? Wait a second. No. I'm praying that God gets me out of the fire. That's my prayer. I'm standing in faith. But even if he doesn't, they said. Even if God and next month. Even if what I wanted is not happening, I'm still not going to bow to a false gods. Unshakable faith, loved ones, is not just about, okay, I'm going to pray this time, I'm going to have unshakable faith, and if it happens, awesome, and if it doesn't, then obviously forget everything. That's not unshakable faith. Unshakable faith says, no matter what, I'm willing even to sacrifice for what I know and believe about God, despite the circumstances.
Praise God.
It's worshiping God in sadness. It's worshiping God when you're still in pain. It's worshiping God when you're still broke. It's worshiping God when your marriage is in trouble. It's worshiping God when your kids are still not coming back home. It's worshiping God when the addiction is still calling your name. Before you see the answer, you still say, God, no matter what, God, I love you. I need you. Even if I don't understand what's happening, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to bow to what the world says. I'm not going to give myself to lust. I'm not going to give myself to addictions. I'm not going to give myself to worshiping the things of this world and pleasure and money. I am standing here saying, God, no matter what, my heart is yours. Even if I'm burned, my heart is yours. No matter what. Unshakable faith. I develop it when I recognize it's about God, not about me. When I believe He is able to save me in the midst of trouble. And when I am willing to sacrifice for what I know and believe despite the consequences. Let's all stand together, those of us who can. And let's pray. Before we pray, what are you believing God for? What is the struggle that you're going through right now? What is it? What is the challenge? My prayer for you is that you will develop unshakable faith. Went to a movie the other day about World War II. And in this story, soldiers were trapped. And the Nazis were going to get them. They had run out of hope and run out of faith. But through several different circumstances, they were able to be saved. And one of the things that Winston Churchill said, Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of England during World War II, and they were fighting against Hitler and the Nazis. An interesting history. One of the things that Winston Churchill said was, no matter what happens, we will never surrender. We're going to fight here. We're going to fight there. We're going to do whatever it takes. But here's one thing I'm telling all the people of England. We are never going to surrender, no matter what. And listen to me. And his unshakable faith led them to galvanize the nation and say, wait, if our prime minister believes we can win, then we can do it. And they fought, and they almost died, and they almost lost it, but they continued to survive, and they never surrendered. And because of that, they ended up being part of the Allied forces who won World War II, because someone said, we will never surrender. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King, you can say anything you want to me. You can offer me the most beautiful things. You can say the worst thing, but no matter what, we are never going to surrender to the false God. May your faith and my faith be like that. And no matter what, Lord, we're with Jesus. We're with you, Lord. Listen, here's the good news. When it's all said and done, Jesus wins over the devil. When it's all said and done, no matter how much pain you're going through now, no matter how much difficulty, when it's all said and done, when we die or Jesus comes back, if we've kept the faith and we've said, I'm never going to surrender, we are going to go and be with him forever in a place where there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain. Unshakable faith. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your presence among us. I ask for every heart, every person that's here, Lord. You know what's happening in each and every one of them. You know the struggles, the pain, you know it all. And I pray that you would infuse them with hope, infuse them with faith to believe in you, God. The God who can deliver us from evil. The God who walks with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The God who has never left us or forsaken us.